yesterday after Shir, we had an important sidebar conversation. Found a beautiful Yerushalmi. So let's recap where we are yesterday and where we left off, and we can add one important Yerushalmi, and then we're ready to roll up our sleeves and give one or two yeshuvim to a difficult Bahag. Again, the Bahag, at least as quoted by Tosos and Menachas and the Rishonim and Imsachim, the Rosh and the Ran, so the Bahag was of the opinion, you missed a day, it's all over. You missed a day, you can't continue to count. And Tosis is upset. The Rosh explained the reason why Tosis is upset, because Tosis says, Reese says, isn't every day a separate mitzvah? Implying Bahag thinks it's one big mitzvah. That's why you miss a day, you're gone. It's like all the days are ma'akvin zazah. But how could it be, after all, the Prima Ganim explains, how can you tell me it's one big mitzvah if you make a separate bracha, a new bracha every single night? So don't you see, from the fact you have brachas chalukos, don't you see that it's mitzvahs chalukos? So each night is a separate mitzvah. So each night is a separate mitzvah. You missed tonight, you got to do tshuva, but the best way to do tshuva missing last night is to count tonight, not to not count tonight. So that was the problem. Hayitachin, that you miss a day, you're out. Don't you see from the fact that you have brachas chalukos, that it's mitzvahs chalukos? So what we developed yesterday was a... mentioned yesterday, this is drawn from the Kuntres and Birkas HaMitzvos, Eretz HaTzvi Simin Gimel, or Shechter, one of these four Kuntresim in Eretz HaTzvi, put together multiple shiurim from the Rav over the course of many years, that together give a coherent approach to a sugya. So he wove the different pieces together from different shiurim over the course of the years. So the Kuntres Birkas HaMitzvah, so major yisod the Rav had at different times in different sugyas, was that Birkas HaMitzvahs, I mentioned yesterday, it's true to an extent for brachas in general, but Birkas HaMitzvahs in particular seemed like the Takana Birkas HaMitzvahs was Chazal crafted as relating to the Masa Mitzvah. And that plays itself out in several ways. It plays itself out in terms of in terms of who makes the bracha. He spoke about the question of mezuzah. If I'm doing the masa mitzvah to help you out, it's your kiyama mitzvah, but I'm doing the maisa, I'm putting a mezuzah in your home, so Rav Post can assume that I make the bracha, but it's not my kiyama mitzvah, I'm a kayim chesed, I'm not makayim mezuzah, the homeowner's mezuzah is chobas hadar. It's the homeowner, or the resident, who has the mitzvah of mezuzah. So I'm helping out, but it's your mitzvah. The answer is, it's your mitzvah, since it's your makayim the mitzvah, but I am... If I'm the one who's putting out the mezuzah, I'm helping you out, it's my ma'aseh mitzvah, and Birkas HaMitzvah relate to the ma'aseh mitzvah, therefore in terms of who says the bracha, it's the one who's doing the ma'aseh mitzvah, not the one who's accruing the kiyama mitzvah. A second question that this speaks to, this yisod, that Birkas HaMitzvah corresponds to the ma'aseh mitzvah, it speaks to the question of which brachas require mitzvahs and which do not. Which, as I mentioned yesterday, it's one of the big questions. That there's a Tshuva HaRashba, Kosef Yosef Ibn Palat wrote a letter to the Ravid about this. We know very little about Yosef Ibn Palat, as far as I know. As far as I know, we know nothing about him, except he must have been one of the Gedolei Hadar, because the Ravid, who was Gadol Hadar, it seems like he's Katalmud Lefnei Rabbo, asking Yosef Ibn Palat, could you please explain to me? I don't understand this mystery of which brachas, which mitzvahs require brachas, which not. Yosef Balat says, okay, let me tell you. So he must have been an unsung Gadol B'Torah. And he's the one who, and there's also, I think I mentioned, the Meiri talks about, based on that, the Rambam has his own approach. But the mainstream approach, the Meiri and Rabbeinu Manoach, beginning of the 11th parak of brachas, also is along the lines of quotes Yosef Balat, with his own twist, slightly different than the Rashba sometimes. And the core idea of Yosef Palat, as opposed to the Rambam, perhaps, is that there are several different criteria you got to think about, and a mitzvah needs to fulfill all the criteria in order to be chayav in a bracha. But several of those criteria relate to this notion of ma'aseh mitzvah. That if you have a mitzvah with no ma'aseh mitzvah whatsoever, Or a mitzvah with ambiguously defined ma'isa mitzvah, like say, let's say, doing chesed kibra ve'im, 1,001 activities that could fall under that rubric, that isn't the sharply defined ma'isa mitzvah the way you have by lulav or dafka achila besukkah. We don't make a bracha on other acts of yeshiva other than achila. Perhaps this is why. Atifa sitzis is well defined. Tefillin, hanacha tefillin is well defined. Tevilas kelim is well defined. Kevilas mezuzah is well defined. So well defined ma'isa mitzvah call for a bracha. But a mitzvah with no ma'isa mitzvah, a mitzvah with a ambiguously or broadly defined ma'isa mitzvah, so then there's no bracha. And that's the way the Rav approached this. This problem of charoses, problem of Lecha Mishnah already raises that the Rambam seems to have changed his mind from the Pirush Mishnayos to the Mishnah Torah. As the Lecha Mishnah puts it, Chazar Bo. In the Pirush Mishnayos, he said, "Lazar B'Tzadik," who says again, the Mishnah has a machlokas and Kuf Yedalad whether charoses mitzvah or charoses ain't a mitzvah. Tanakama says not a mitzvah. You need it, but it's not a mitzvah. Lazar B'Tzadik says, no, it is a mitzvah. So the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos, the Gemara says, the difference is it just ein mitzvah means to solve a problem of health concern of kafa, and Lazar Tzadik says mitzvah means no, it's mamas zecher latif zecher latapuch. It's part of the chayv adam laharos. It's part of the telling of the story. It's symbolically reminding us either of the koshi hashibud, the teven, the tit. Or it's reminding us of the bitachan of the Jewish people, specifically of the Jewish women, the zecher l'tapuach. I know the Tosfos quote from the Chuvos HaGaonim. It's also gonna help you to remember the av between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. It's symbolized in Shir HaShirim through the fruits that we include in our charoses recipe, and the Yerushalmi. That adds one more zecher, zecher l'dam. It's also part of the koshi hashibud, and that's why you have a little bit of wine before it says shochanot. You add more wine when you're ready to use it. You already have a little bit of wine even from the outset. Again, during the centuries that Jews were afraid of blood libels, they often had to refrain. Sometimes even had to refrain from using red wine for kosos. But that was just sakanas nefashos. But if you're living Baruch Hashem as we do in a safe environment. So then you have the zecher. It's not, obviously it's not blood, it's just wine. But zecher ladam, to remember the Jewish blood that was spilled mercilessly over the years in Mitzrayim. So that's the way the Talmud Bavli presents the machlokas, mitzvah ena mitzvah, machlokas tanaim, what's the nature of charoses? Is it machlokas? Is it just a practical solution to health concern of kafa? Or is it meant to be a zecher to one or more of these pieces of the story? The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos says a lot. Nafkamina is mitzvah. In a mitzvah, either we have to have charoses. What does it say? Nafkamina is right bracha. The Tanakhama says no bracha. Lazar Tzadik says bracha. We don't make a bracha. Rambam says yeah, because we don't pass the Lazar Tzadik. That seems to be the simplest reading of the Pirush Mishnayos. Then you turn to Mishnah Torah, Zayin Yud Aleph in the Chametz Matzah, and all of a sudden the first thing he tells you is charoses is mitzvah divrei sof. That's his opening line. That's the title. That's the title of Hilchos Charoses. And it sounds pretty clearly that he's quoting the language. He's obviously Kedarko quoting the language of Chazal Kitzurasan as much as possible. He's clearly quoting the Mishnah Kuf Yidal, quoting Lazar B'Tzadik. So, and yet, there's no problem. And he said, he's part of Lazar B'Tzadik. There's plenty of the course of Paraches. And he takes us through the Seder about the charoses. He's very charoses involved. You're dipping everything. Everything gets dipped in the charoses, except for Karban Pesach. Karpas, the matzah, the mar, and yet he never mentions a word about a bracha. So what happened? He shifted on how we paskin, which time we paskin like, and he shifted on whether mitzvah means bracha. In the Pirush Mishnayos, he said, if you were to hold, like Lazar B'Tzadik, that it's a mitzvah, that means that it's a bracha. All of a sudden you come to Mishnah Torah, it's gone. We do pass the Lazar B'Tzadik, but it doesn't yield a bracha. So as Lecha Mishnah says, Tan got to figure out what's going on. So one approach, guys, one of Tosfos Tzantzev talks about this, Rebbeinu Manoach talks about this, and the Frankel Rambam has Rebbeinu Manoach on the bottom, that maybe has to do with Iker and Tov. Maybe it's a whole larger question is about Reb Tzachim. Is there a notion of Iker and Tov? Well, we didn't talk about this yesterday, but I'll just mention Maybe there's an ikar on top of birkas hamitzvah. We're familiar with ikar on top of birkas hanenin, have cereal and milk. I'm going to make mizonos. I'm going to make a shahako. So maybe there's such an idea by birkas hamitzvah also. What the Rav suggested is if you read the Rav Solon carefully, a different way of understanding what's going on here, it has to do with this global issue of you only make brachos on mitzvahs with clearly defined ma'aseh mitzvah. And if you read the Rambam, Rambam talks a lot about the dipping in Perek Ches, but when he actually defines the mitzvah drabban of charoses in Perek Zayin, not a word about the dipping. The mitzvah is hava, mivinos ala shulchan, which does not mean to a mitzvah to put it on the table. It means a mitzvah to have on the table. So I don't have to have someone who's mechuyav in mitzvahs put the charos on the table. It's not that the putting it on the table is a ma'aseh mitzvah. It's a choas chalos. I need to have charoses on my table. My table has to be bedecked with charoses. Just like you have the shnei tavshilin, drawing the baits on the table. It's not a mitzvah to put it on the table. It's supposed to have them on the table. It's supposed to have charoses. Unlike zroah and baits, we just leave there to look at. We don't touch them at all. The charosa, and perhaps that's the zroah and baits, perhaps we don't interact with them in part because we're scared about making it seem as though we're actually being makdish to carbon. We walk in a tightrope. Charosas is no concern. There's no whiff of hektish. So the charosas we try to interact with as much as possible. They're not really a chiv to eat it, but dip all everything that we are eating into the charosas. But that's just sort of to implement the presence of charosas as much as possible. But the core chiv, the core mitzvah, is not the dipping, it's having it there. You want to have it, that you want it to be as substantial a presence as possible, so let your food interact, dip your food into it. But the core mitzvah is just that it's on the table. That's really the essence of what it is that you're doing, which is why there's no bracha, because it's not really a mitzvah shal maisa. It's really primarily just a mitzvah, fundamentally it's a mitzvah to have it there. So let me add one point that came up in our post-shir conversation yesterday. Ephraim pointed out that if you read the Perush HaMishnayos, what's strange, the Perush HaMishnayos, where he does not pass Nakar B'lazer B'tzadok, that's the simple reading of the last line of the Perush HaMishnayos, Eina Halacha, is that we don't make a bracha because we don't accept B'lazer B'tzadok, yet he begins by saying, Charoses Zecher L'tit. Very difficult. Between Pasuk B'lazer B'tzadok, not Pasuk B'lazer B'tzadok. Right? We learned the Gemara Bavli, Gemara said, I've said before, Machlekes is it just to deal with the kapha health problem? That's Tanakama. And Rabbi Lezer Tzarek says, no, Zeichel Lutet. So the Rambam, in Pirush Mishnayos, forget about it. He changes his mind later. Within that one paragraph, it's internally inconsistent. He begins by saying Zeichel Lutet, and he ends by saying, we don't pass from Lezer Tzarek. So one second. Do you pass from Lezer Tzarek? Do not. You said at the end, you don't pass from Lezer Tzarek, but at the beginning you said Zeichel Lutet. A problem. I think the solution is, often when you have a difficult Rambam, you got to look in the Yerushalmi, because the Rambam drew heavily from Bavli and Yerushalmi and Midrash and Halacha. He was not the Bavli-centric the way his own Rebbe, the Riff was, the Riff right at the end of Erevin, that we pass like Bavli against Yerushalmi. The Rambam did not accept that. The Vilna Gaon points out in several places. So often if Rambam doesn't fit, you want to look at the Yerushalmi because it sounds as though the Rambam here is saying that you could say Zeichel Lutet even according to Tanakama. And in fact, I think that's what Yerushalmi says. You take a look at Yerushalmi on this Mishnah. I think it's the top of Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, the usual printings of Yerushalmi Pesachim. Yerushalmi has a discussion about the Zeichel Lutet and the Teven and all that, does not seem to be explicitly referencing Rav Lezer B'Tzadok. The Bavli introduces that as Zeichel Lutet is Pshat Rav Lezer B'Tzadok. And that's the machlokas. Yerushalmi sounds like that's nothing to do with the machlokas. And that probably explains what's going on in this Pirush HaMishnayos. I would suggest that what changed? I think what changed is in his earlier years, he was following Yerushalmi in interpreting this Mishnah. In his later years, he shifted to accepting the Bavli's interpretation of the Mishnah. In other words, Yerushalmi understands that everyone agrees with Zeichel Lutet. The Bavli says, no, that's the machlokas Hanan is a Zeichel Lutet, or just solving kafa. So that's what he quotes in Mishnah Torah, when apparently in his later years he decided to accept the Bavli's approach. In his younger years, when he was writing Pirush HaMishnayos, I suspect, that it's actually surprising that Rav Kafa doesn't even quote this Kasha, the Zeich Latit, nor does he reference Yerushalmi. But I think if you look in the Yerushalmi, you get the impression that the Yerushalmi thinks everyone holds Zeich Latit. That's not debatable. That's why, as a matter of fact, that's why the Rambam is then driven to wonder, if everyone holds Zechlotet, so what's the machloka's mitzvah in a mitzvah? What do you mean? Of course it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah of Zechlotet. So that's what Rambam is saying in his younger years in Pirush Rishayim. He says, no, of course that would be a mitzvah. The question is it a mitzvah that's Ta'on Bracha, or is it a mitzvah that's Eino Ta'on Bracha? The Rosh Rav Tzadok said, it's such a mitzvah, even requires a Bracha. And Tarakama said, no, I mean, you have to do it. It's a mitzvah, but not a mitzvah with all the bells and whistles. Not a mitzvah with a Bracha. Perhaps, in his younger years, perhaps he read in the Yerushalmi this issue. Maybe the question is why are they arguing over bracha? Maybe it's machlokas of what exactly is the mitzvah? Just lahavi or the mitzvah really is a tibul, or maybe it's a machlokas of how big the mitzvah work. I'm not sure, but my strong impression is that the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos was following the Rishonim. Again, that's why he starts right away by saying tzeich latet, even though later on he's going to say we don't pass the laws of tzaddik, because Rishonim seems to indicate that everyone holds tzeich latet. But Zerub Tzadok is saying, it's a Zeich Latit which requires a bracha. That's how the Rambam is reading Zerub Tzadok. While Tana Kama, yeah, it's a Zeich Latit which doesn't require a bracha. That was B'na'av Yalduso, and B'ziknuso, the Rambam got it in later years when he was writing the Mishnah Torah. Seems like he had moved to using to adopting the Bavli's understanding of the Mishnah, that only Zerub Tzadok is a Zeich Latit, in which case there's no Hechreach that you need to make a bracha even according to Lazar Tzadok. If you follow the Yerushalmi, so the Rambam felt forced to say, it must be Lazar Tzadok says you make a bracha, because otherwise, what's he adding to Tana Kama? I wouldn't agree with Zeich Latit. Once you, if you accept the Bavli, that the Machlokas is whether Zeich Latit or not, so then you don't need to, assume that Lazar Tzadok would mandate a bracha. And that, by the way, also explains why the Rambam Pirush Mishnah said right away Zeich Latit, and why he gave that whole lengthy recipe. If you say it's just purely a kafa issue, you don't need the whole recipe, as the Bavli indicates. But the Yerushalmi, he's following the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi did not assume that anyway, the Yerushalmi presented the recipe l'chalades. So that seems to be, again, that's what we talked about yesterday, the Rav suggested that this understanding, again, of Birkas HaMitzvah being relating to Maisa Mitzvah in particular, that's a way of dealing with the difficulty in Charosis. I'm suggesting, adding now, that part of the movement between Pirush Mishnah and Mishnah Torah, I think, is whether in his younger years, Rama was using the Rishalmi's approach to the Mishnah, and in his later years in the Mishnah Torah, he adopted the Bavli instead, and as you said yesterday, this also, the Rav also uses to solve the what's known as the Shagas Aries Kasha, Simon Kuf, in terms of the Mara. He understood that with that difficult Rash, he wasn't talking about Mara Darais, he was only talking about Mara Drabbanan, trying to figure out, is it Zecher L'Mikdash B'Alba? The way Bala Mara and even Rashi present that possibility by Sfira. Or no, it's a real mitzvah of achila. So the fact that you have a bracha at all, as well as a language of achila in the bracha, both indicate that not only Mar Daraisa, when you have the Karban Pesach, the mitzvah of achila, but even Mar Drabanan, Zeich LeMikdash, the Tamata Kana, the motivation to have Mar Drabanan B'Zman Zeh was Zeich LeMikdash, but the Tzuras HaTakan, the Ofa HaTakan, what they actually created was not merely, Mar style, the way Amemar says, just count the days, and that way you'll have a connection to Mikdash. No, Rosh is saying, by Mar, it's not that way. The fact you have a bracha, therefore clearly there's a well-defined Maisa Mitzvah, and the Nusach HaBracha itself says, Achila, clearly, the Takanah Rabbanu was also to do Achilas Mar. What you're accomplishing through the Achilas Mar, but there is a requirement for an actual Maisa of Achilas Mar, that's why it requires a bracha. And that's not the reason why, but that's the proof. The fact that there is a bracha, and that the bracha says achila, is the proof that you require kazais. And that is shot in that rush. So now let's take one or two questions, and then we'll use this idea to give a solution to the Bahag, and then we'll close up with another solution to the Bahag. Yeah, you've been waiting very patiently.
When are you saying that in Yad the Rambam sticks with holding like a common
Well, the Rambam says very clearly, he opens Zayin Yud Aleph by saying, Hacharoses mitzvah, where's the language of the Rambam? Hacharoses mitzvah medivrei sofrim. So you have to be sensitive, you gotta be sensitive. So we've spoken about this many times, right? That you have to be part of developing a derech in accurately reading different Rishonim, what you're kasha is sensitive to, diukim they're sensitive to making, is I'm trying to understand what genre each Rishonim is writing, like what type of sefer he's writing, and what was he trying to do, and what were his own rules. The Rambam is pretty clear in the letter to Pinchas Zayin and elsewhere, he's trying as much as possible to quote language of Chazal. So if he opens by saying, Charosim mitzvah diri sofrim, you know that he's quoting Lazar Tzadik. That's a Mishnah. Tanakama says it's not a mitzvah. Lazar Tzadik says it is a mitzvah. And he says, the first thing he tells us, Charos is a mitzvah. So it's clear that, as the Nosek Kalim point out, it's clear that the first thing he's trying to tell us is we follow Lazar Tzadik. That's the first thing he tells you. And then he gets into Zeichelotet, maybe Yisrael al-Shulchan, but the first thing he says is that that's the Rambam way of saying we pass Lazar Tzadik. He wasn't interested in names. That's what he writes also several places. He's not interested in names. He just wants to tell you the shita that we pass like. So he's pretty clear. We know what he's saying. And again, if you were to learn Mishnah Torah without having looked at the sugya beforehand, so I'm not exactly sure where the Rambam is driving it. But if you learn the sugya, so then the moment you see that, he says that's Rambam ease for saying halacha goes to Ritzadok, which is the language that he would use in Pirush Mishnayos, halacha like this, halacha not like that one, as he tells us in his introduction. Well, one of the things I plan to do in my Pirush is to tell you how we paskin, which Tana we paskin like, whereas in Mishnah Torah, he tells us, I'm not going to name names, I'm just going to tell you the Shita that I paskin like, which is what he's doing. Well, I would say there's no hechreach. That's what I said before. In other words, I'm saying it's like this. Once you see the Rishalmi appears to say you have to look more carefully, but I believe I did not have a chance. I have to be honest. I did not have a chance to look in Rishalmi with Nosek Kalim. It'd be kedai to open up and look inside. But I saw the language of Rishalmi. The language of Rishalmi sounds an awful lot like it's just quoting the whole discussion about Zeich Letit and Zeich Ledam without reference to one Tana or the other. So I believe that the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos was working with the Yerushalmi and said, look, you see from the Yerushalmi that's independent, that the question of Zeich, the issue of Zeich Letit is orthogonal, if you will. It's independent of which Tana you pass like. Regardless of which Tana you pass like, Charoses is Zeich Letit, Zeich Ledam, etc. Zeich to something. So I think that the Pirush Mishnayos is mamish gorgeous. Because he's quoting Charos, as Rishalmi tells us, Zeich Letit, Zeich Leteven, and this is mainly have recipes all the ingredients. So then is the Hakasha, the same Kasha, the opposite Kasha of the Bavli. Right? The Bavli and Kufta Zayin said, what do you mean? If it's not a mitzvah, if the Tanakhama holds it's not a mitzvah, then why do you bother with Charos as well? It's not a mitzvah. Right? So, it must be this new reason of Kafa. Right? The Bavli had a kasha and Tanakama, which forced them to come up with a second rationale for Harosa's kafa. The Rishalmi didn't ask the kasha. Rishalmi tends to be terser, but in reading the Rishalmi, the Rambam has the opposite kasha. Now kasha was the Ritzadok. I understand the Bavli's kasha is not shver. Why in Harosa's? Because Zeich Letit. But the question is, once you tell me everyone holds a Zeich Letit, so the kasha was the Ritzadok. What do you mean mitzvah? Everyone holds a Zeich Letit. Well, what's the Ritzadok adding? Everyone agrees you have to have it, and I understand why everyone agrees you have to have it, but then what does mitzvah mean? What does mitzvah add? It's the opposite kasha. And that was machriyah of the Rambam to come up not with another reason for harosis, but as an opposite kasha, an opposite issue, another level of chiyuv, or another nafkamina in being a mitzvah. So it flows beautifully. He says, harosis, everyone agrees it's eich letit, with this recipe. You're going to tell me, he's bavari nakasha, it's like a rashi. Are you going to tell me, so what's Lazar Tzadik saying? What's he being mosif? He holds you even have to make a bracha. But by the way, we don't pass it like him. We don't make a bracha. We don't pass it like Lazar Tzadik. That's what emerges from reading Yerushalmi. In Mishnah Torah, he's following the Bavli. So it's not that you can say there's a bracha, but there's no hechreach. Because what was machriach the Rambam to say in his younger years, in Yer Bracha, is because otherwise, I don't know what it was, but it was being Mosif. Everyone holds Zeichletit. Yeah, but the Bavli holds Tanakhama, does not hold Zeichletit. So the Bavli dealt with this, already presumed the answer. When it was to be Mosif, is Zeichletit. And therefore, presumably, expand his recipe, not a Bracha. Could there be a Bracha? Maybe, maybe not. Well, yes, except no.
Except
many, 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 many exceptions. So you have to figure out. In other words, if you say like Yerushalmi, their blood of Tzadik is going to have to say bracha, but we're going to have to figure out how somehow charosis fits the criteria to have a bracha. Whereas once you say like the Bavli, so then I don't know. We have to let's figure out. Maybe he needs a bracha. He doesn't. Let's look at all the rules.
But it's the same mitzvah. So why are we trying to figure out?
Well, look, even for the Yerushalmi, the Tanakhama doesn't hold any bracha.
Right.
So obviously there is a way to look at Karosa such that it has no bracha. It could be that if you have asked the Rambam, Rabbi Rambam would have said that the Tanakhama, within the Yerushalmi, Tanakhama holds its only Mevi'in, perhaps. We could speculate what's driving the Machlokas with Lezer of Tzadok and Tanakhama according to Yerushalmi. That's, I think, speculative. But it's certainly possible that the way they're arguing over the nature of the mitzvah of takan of charosis was a takan of hava'a, was a takan of tibul. Maybe. I don't know. I'm guessing. But so I would have a hechreach. I can't explain what was machreach. There's no bracha, but certainly there's no hechreach that there is a bracha. Whereas in Yerushalmi, there is, the Rav Tzadok must hold. There's a force. He must hold that there's a bracha. Otherwise, what's he saying? What's he mean by mitzvah? When you get to the Bavli, so then there's no hechreach. And then you're open to going either way. And then you have to work out all the issues. I should know, even the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos may well accept this issue of Asiya. I should just note, even the language of Shmuel, the Amora Shmuel, who said Kolamitz is the seven-word rule. Kolamitz is Kul Mevarach Halein over L'Asiya, son. Every single mitzvah. You make a bracha before the Asiya. Every single mitzvah with loads of exceptions. So this rule of there has to be a Maisa, L'Chor, is already licked in the language of Shmuel. Because over L'Asiya, son. You make the bracha in advance of the Maisa. So if there is no Maisa, there's no bracha. That's the indication. That's how this idea of Maisa fits into the Shitas Ram as well. In the brachas yudalf. Okay, so now let us. Kavaldik, we have 20 minutes. 20 minutes remaining. Should be an ample time to deal with the Bahag in two ways. The first way is what we've been building up until now. What we've been building up until now again is we've seen several different ways in which this core no yisod in Birkas HaMitzvos plays out. Again, the Birkas HaMitzvos, Takana Birkas HaMitzvos was built around the Maaseh Mitzvah. Again, number one, if you're doing the Maaseh and I have the Kiyum, you make the Bracha. That's a question of who. Number two is a question of which mitzvahs require Bracha and which don't. Charoses, Kibbutz Avim, and so on and so forth. Right? There, no Maaseh, or it's like by the Charoses, just a mitzvah to have a certain situation. To have the Charos on the table. Or like Emuna, it's a mitzvah in the mind and heart. Or like Kibbut Avein, where it's a loosely, or Chesed, loosely defined mitzvah, and ambiguously, broadly defined mitzvah, so there's no bracha. It's not the only criterion that drives Birkas HaMitzvos, but several of them relate to this idea of mice. Okay. And then, number three might be the following third way in which this Birkas HaMitzvah, Maaseh Mitzvah connection plays out is not only whether who makes a bracha and whether or not a mitzvah requires a bracha, but assuming a mitzvah does require a bracha, how many brachos do you make? Just as if you have the kiyum, I have the maaseh, I make the bracha, even though you're making the mitzvah. So let's say kiyum and maaseh are wrapped up in the same person. And now am I doing one maaseh? I'm doing several maaseh. So then, it's likely that there are several maisim, should be several brachas. And not just several maisim, but several highly distinct maisim. Where, in other words, let's say I'm doing bedikas chametz. So I'm doing bedikas chametz at the whole house. I'm doing kaviyas mezuzah. I'm moving into the house. Whoever is praying mezuzah, the person praying mezuzah, you have 5, 10, 15, 20 mezuzahs to put up. And you put them up one after another. So you say one bracha with both mezuzah, you put up all the mezuzahs. Even though you're doing multiple maisim, you still make one bracha. Or, let's say a fellow works in a slaughterhouse. He's going to shecht 100 chickens. He makes one ala shechita, and then he keeps shechting. Only one bracha for all the maisim mitzvah, yeah. But Sfira Sa'omer, the Rebbe pointed out, is different. Because Sfira Sa'omer, it's not just... I'm not just doing multiple maisim mitzvah in a row. Not only is there a hefsek between them, but more than that, just a hefsek, it's zmano shel zeh, lo kizmano shel zeh. They're highly distinct ma'ase mitzvah. To shech chicken number one, shech chicken number two, shech chicken number three. I could do it whatever order I want, and I could do them all on the same day. I could have done any of them at 10, 20, and 57 seconds. Or to be koveh all the mezuzahs. I'm doing them all today. You learn hilchas mezuzah, there may be certain, you may want to begin kfiyas mezuzah with a door that's vaday chay. But basically, I could do them whatever order I want, and at any time, the times are interchangeable. But the counting 2 and counting 7 and counting 12 and counting 45, zmano shalzeh lo kizmano shalzeh. There's no overlap between when I do this and when I do that. So those are highly distinct ma'aseh mitzvah. All the same mitzvah. All the same mitzvah. All the same kiyum ha-mitzvah. But 49 distinct ma'aseh mitzvah. So the Bahag would say, and that's answer number one, Bahag would say to Prima Gadim, yeah, of course there are 49 separate brachas, because there are 49 separate, highly distinct ma'aseh mitzvah. But the 49 distinct ma'aseh mitzvah add up to one kima mitzvah, Sfiras Omer. There's a mitzvah to count the entire period, to enumerate, to count out the entire period from Pesach to Shavuos, from the Karban Omer to Shtei Lechem. Or nothing. Unlike Lulav and Esrog, where you do all the minim simultaneously, unlike Arba Parsha Shevet Tefillin, Mamish one Maisa. Right? Not only are the separate Maisa, they're highly distinct Maisa. Each one is on a different day. It's very unusual. Sfiras HaOmer is pretty unique in that way. That's approached on what the Rebbe suggested. Is the brachas only separate brachas only prove a separate Maisa mitzvah? Doesn't prove a separate Kiyume mitzvah. Maybe it's one big Kiyume mitzvah. That results from the sum total of 49 Maisa mitzvah. So Prima Gadim is right, the Re is right, they're separate Maisei Mitzvah, but it doesn't mean they're separate units. Then that's solution number one to the Bach. That's solution number one. Yes, Yossel.
All the examples that Rebbe just gave, you say a bracha at the beginning, and then you just keep on doing the action, right? So you
correct.
Say the bracha on Shkita, and then do all the, all, you know, keep on doing Shkita on Shkita. So then shouldn't that be the same thing here? We should say a bracha. And then
exactly.
Tonight's the second, the third, and not actually
very good. You're asking why Sfiras HaOmer different than Shechita, why Sfiras HaOmer different than Mezuzah? And the answer is because they're all happening at the same time. And they all can happen at the same time. Whereas Sfiras HaOmer, not only is there 24 hours or so between, but they're a highly distinct Maisei Mitzvah as evidenced by the fact that Zmano Shalzeh, lo kizmano shalzeh. There's a certain chunk of time when I can do the act of counting 2. There's a different segment of time during which I can do the act of counting 3. There's yet a third segment of time during which I can do the act of counting 47. So that makes these 49 Maisei Mitzvah more distinct and separate from one another than Shechting chicken number 1 and chicken number 5 and chicken number 47. Or putting up mezuzah number 3 and putting up mezuzah number 17.
No, but
there's a period of time during which I can define precisely without any fuzziness. I mean, machlokas maybe about day versus night, but I can define this period of time and this period of time only is when I can do the mitzvah of counting 2. This period, the Maisa Mitzvah of counting. This period of time and this period of time only is where I could do the Maisa Mitzvah of counting seven. And then there's no overlap. I mean, okay, according to Taisus, I could handle with Bein HaShemashas. But Lamasa, there's no real overlap. So you're right, there is a season during which all the Maisim happen. But at the same time, each Maisim Mitzvah has a highly defined time for that particular Maisim Mitzvah. And there's no overlap between those 49 chunks of time. No, but they all, if I do, I need to do these 49 Maisei Mitzvah in order to have a Kiyama Mitzvah of... Suyas Omer. Oh, so that goes back to the Rav's Korya. So you're right. On the one hand, 49 separate Maisim, one Kiyama Mitzvah, and what should the Bracha follow? So just as, Nafkinia number one in this Yisod was, the Birkas HaMitzvah, Maisei Mitzvah connection, was a question of who... One person is doing the Maisa, a different person is getting the Kiyam. Which one says the Bracha? The answer is the person who's doing the Maisa. So in parallel, if you have one Kiyam with multiple Maisim, the Brachas follow the Maisim. And therefore, although there's one Kiyam, that Kiyam HaMitzvah doesn't drive Birkas HaMitzvah. Maisa Mitzvah does. So just like you put this in my house, you make the Bracha. If you're doing 40, because it follows the Maisa, if doing 49 Maisim for one Kiyam, and if the 49 Maisim are distinct enough from one another, then each one is going to require the number of brachas will follow the number of Maisim rather than the number of Kiyum. Yeah, okay. Why is there no? Yeah, no, there is. That's why you have a separate bracha. By serious number, number one, there's a hefsik. And not only is there a hefsik, but they're mamish highly distinct Maisim. Well, I'll give you a mashal ma'ad davar domim. This is not a mitzvah, this is to create a chalos, but sometimes you can have multiple masim which together create a single chalos. Sometimes the context of a mitzvah, let's say you're doing a chalitza. So you have three different actions involved in a chalitza. Removing the woman removes the man's shoe, the chalitza is haminol, the woman spits at him, towards him, Rekika, and they each have psukim to say. You don't spit in the shoe. That's an urban legend. But she's supposed to spit at him. So there's a fascinating parak, 12th parak Yivam. Let's go through all the details of the procedure of chalitza, parak mitzvah, chalitza. So there are three separate masim that together form the, give a kiyum ha-mitzvah of chalitza. Or let's say a geirus. Geirus is not necessarily a mitzvah, but let's say the chalos of the, in order to create that status change, that this non-Jewish person becomes a Jewish person, you need to have, if it's a male, you need a mila, and if the days of Beis HaMikdash, you need a karban, male or female, and the bezmana, even bezmana zeh, whether male or female, you need tefillah and a mikvah, and you need kabbalah sal mitzvahs. So those are different events, often happening on different days. If you're doing a mila, you usually let the mila heal before you do the tefillah. They're happy in different times, but together all those maisim create the single chalos of now you're a ger, now you're Jewish. So it's similar here. I have multiple 49 maisim which together create a single kiyum mitzvah of a sfiras omer. Yeah, one last question, then let's move on to approach number two. Yeah. Okay. Three distinct maisim. Yeah, right. No, those are three distinct maisim, which together. Why don't we say three brachas on chalitza? I believe that we don't make any bracha on chalitza. Right. So I believe the reason why we don't make bracha is that I mentioned before there are other criteria also. I think chalitza we don't make a bracha because it's always a result of a negative situation. The chalitza result of a death. So that's why I believe that's why. But you're right. Were we to were that not to be an issue, if chalitza was a result of a happy occasion, so then you're in a chana, maybe we would have made brachas on chalitza. That's not the only reason. Yeah, the truth is Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer of Egla Rufa Halacha L'maisa called Nachal Eisen. Eli Rufin, one of the least studied areas of halacha, so that's why he said it's so the Sefer Chassidim writes, you have the area of halacha that most people don't learn, so it's like a mes mitzvah, it's an extra mitzvah to learn the area of halacha. So he says, Egla Rufa, this is Chaim Kanievsky's tongue in cheek humor, says, Egla Rufa is a mes mitzvah. That's what he writes in Hagdama. That's why, he always explains Hagdama why, like, this sefer in particular, he needs to write, like, it was like a din, he had to write this sefer, right? What, not a din, but what, what's the particular significance of this very topic that he's writing about? So now Hagdama Nachal Eisen, he says, it's very important. And he says almost no, there's very little written in it. There's a parak in this Masechta Sota, and there's Rambam, there's Rashi, Tosfos, and not much else. So he wanted to work at every last issue in Egla Rufa, Halacha Maisa, using incredible Bekiyas. So everything is figuring everything based on other sugyas elsewhere, and let's figure out what we can shel to, what we can compare, what's relevant to. To bring in to figure out the Egla Rufa Shaila. So he has, I think, one of the, he basically wrote like his own Shulchan Aruch and his own Mishnah Berurah. So he has a siman, Dalet, I don't remember for sure, but the brachas. So he works a lot on the brachas. Do you say brachas? How many? And do you say al or le? So he says, well, we need to study the sugyas. So he says, do you say al or le? That says Gemara and Psachim Dav Zayin. He says, there are 10 sheets as a Rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara is saying. And he goes through all 10 sheets in Rishonim, and he proceeds to go through every single step of Egla Rufa, you know, according to Yerayim, it should be da-da-da-da, according to the Yerayatama sheets, right? Like, works everything thoroughly according to every sheet that he delineated. So he talks about there are up to 4 actions that might require bracha. There's the measuring to the cities, and there's the beheading of the Egla, the Rifas Egla. And there's an Atil Sedaim, and there's clean enough to wash your hands. It's actually an example of Atil Sedaim, it's Ken Deraisa and Atil Sedaim in the Torah. And there's the Kriya Sapsukim. So he discusses whether each one does or doesn't require bracha. So there you go. It's a single kiyum, but multiple meisim. So you have to fear, maybe none of them require bracha. So it's a result of a homicide, or maybe not. And if they do require bracha, how many? And if they do, if any given act requires a bracha, so you say, Ala Rifas Egla or La Arofas Egla. So be right. That's another good example of a single kiyum with multiple meisim. There you don't have any Rishonim. And Yom Gemara Rishonim talk about it, but you can take a look in Nachal Eisen. He will deal with that extensively. So again, we have a Bahag. Bahag said that what? The Bahag said that you miss a day, you're out. Prima Gadim says, what do you mean? But you make multiple brachas. Says the Rav, no problem. Multiple brachas means multiple maisei mitzvah. It doesn't mean multiple kiyume mitzvah. Maybe it's multiple maisei mitzvah, which together add up to one kiyume mitzvah. So in terms of brachas, you make 49 separate brachas. But still, if it's one kiyume mitzvah, you miss a day, you're out. If all 49 are ma'akvos, like the chalitzi have 3 different maisei, they're not all ma'akev. Okay. But here they all are ma'akev. That's fine. You have 49 maisei mitzvah, they're all ma'akev. So you miss any one, you're out. Then there's another option. The other option, see, the first option was to accept the Ri's core assumption about the Bahag. The Ri's, Rosh quote the Ri, saying, how could the Bahag say this, but there's 49 separate mitzvahs, implying that the Bahag seems to think there's one big mitzvah. Right? So the first approach is saying, Nechanami. That's right. You're right, the Bahag does think it's one big mitzvah, but yet, it's 49 separate mitzvahs, which is why you have 49 separate brachas. The other approach is that perhaps you could dig deeper and say maybe we can unseat the core assumption of the Ri in reading the Bahag. The other suggestion is maybe the Bahag never even meant that it's one big mitzvah. Maybe you're absolutely right. Of course. There are 49 separate mitzvahs. 49 separate Maisei mitzvah, 49 separate Kiyumei mitzvah. Mamash like Tefillin. Right? Tefillin yesterday, Tefillin today. Don't just have a Maisei mitzvah, separate Kiyumei mitzvah. Point Tefillin yesterday. I had a kiyum mitzvah yesterday. I put on tefillin today. I have a new kiyum mitzvah today. Which I'll put on tefillin tomorrow. I have a new kiyum mitzvah tomorrow. So the second approach to the Rav to Bahag is absolutely. Absolutely. The Bahag agrees with the Ri. Every day is a new mitzvah. Mamash like tefillin, like kriyashma. Every day is a new mitzvah. New maisa mitzvah, new kiyum mitzvah, that works. Right? So of course you make separate bach. How is it that you miss a day you're out? Why would you miss a day you're out? The answer is, it's not that he didn't hold this. What is the second approach? Didn't hold that's one big mitzvah. But what he did hold is every day is a new mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah to count. So to count implies, the act of counting implies consecutiveness. To count non-consecutively is just not called counting. To count 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 10, that's not called counting. So let me spell out that, and this relates to some other issues and other achronim as well. First, let me just play out what this idea means. The most basic nafkamina between these two issues, this is something that Minchas Chinuch Rei touches on, if you're reading carefully in Shin Vav, is if I miss a day, so the Bahad clearly says, I miss a day, don't bother counting tomorrow. You missed yesterday, don't bother counting today. You're out. But what the question, the nafkamina between the two approaches is, but what's the status of the days before that I did count? So according to the first approach, the usual way of understanding the bag, there's one big mitzvah. So it turns out, now we know they missed day 27. Now we know, looking back, in retrospect, that those counting, first 26 countings, the days 1 to 26, were really meaningless. You tried. It was an act of Avos Hashem, Yir Shamayim, but there was no fulfillment of Sefiras Omer because you didn't get to the end. One big mitzvah. You messed up. You blew it. It was a little bad effort, according to the first classical understanding of the Bahag. According to Rav's Mechudishtik understanding, the second approach in Bahag, no. Counting 1 to 26, every those are 26 mitzvahs. When I miss 27, so now to count 28 today, it's not going to help because it's non-consecutive. But the first 26 worked well. And this is not incredibly important nafkamina for, as we spoke about, you know in advance you're going to miss a day. According to the classical understanding of the Baha'i, you know in advance a fellow is going to be not conscious for over 24 hours, he's having surgery, he knows in advance it's very scheduled, so then you should stop making brachas now, because you know that according to the Baha'i, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, according to the classical understanding. According to Rav's approach, no, up until the surgery, every day is a mitzvah. It's just that after the surgery is over, I missed a day, so I can no longer count. But what happened at first did work. Mishabru even quotes some achronim who thought that if a woman knows that she has a track record of not making it to the end because she doesn't come to shul to daven every night, so she knows, you know, past performance has been the last number of years, she never made it to the end. So Mishabru quotes some achronim who say she should start counting without a bracha because of the Bahag. According to the second approach, absolutely not. As long as you're counting consecutively, that's a real mitzvah. Once you stop, so from that point on is nothing, according to the Bahag. But until that point, even in retrospect, was a real kira mitzvah. Let me add the final text. I'm going to take questions all the way downstairs. This question, this idea that the Rav is developing, the second, that's already you see in the chinuch, and then the Be'er Halacha quotes from Gaonim, the chinuch says, the chinuch solution to the problem of the Bahag was don't worry, you missed yesterday. So don't worry. You can still continue counting. Just say, yesterday was 28. Tonight, you can say, yesterday was 28, and today 29. What does that help? If I missed filling yesterday, I could probably fill in twice today and say, this is for yesterday, this is for today. That's Tashlumin. Because the answer is, if you missed a day, you could paper or you could stitch it together. I'm not going to be able to get the mitzvah of yesterday, but I can still have the consecutiveness so I could have the mitzvah today. And let me briefly tell you, with this we head down, this notion that's not just a mitzvah to say, it's a mitzvah to count. So that's something Dvar Avram developed maybe some other time we'll talk, maybe when we come back. Maybe we'll come back, we'll head downstairs. When we come back, I'll give you three final nafkamiyas in this idea, and then we'll move to the Ramban al-Torah.